America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who wants cream? Nobody? Okay, no cream.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, we've made a great effort so far. Let's just keep it up.
That's right! We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've got too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to keep our composure.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A lot of pressure. You gotta rise above it. Mm-hmm. You gotta harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness, energy, block, bad. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Hey, guys. Whoa, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and, of course, the YouTube. YouTube.com/1080TheFan. You can reach the show on the YouTube comment section, Twitter at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080TheFan, or the Vancouver Ford text line, which is 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. You can visit them at VancouverFord.com.
What's up, boys? This is what I gotta say today.
Poll question just went up. Would it surprise you if you found out that Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla is a vampire? Yes or no at Dirt and Sprague?
I'm gonna vote no on that one. I'm going no.
I'm also voting no. Swag, during the break, I saw a photo of one of our favorites, Peter King, who recently retired from covering the NFL. He has decided in his retirement life to do a road trip, and he just recently went through Oregon. It's a photo of him at Crater Lake, and says Bend is one of the best towns in America, not just like Oregon in America.
I think he's doing a whole nationwide road trip, state to state to state.
Mentioned rhododendron, zigzag, so you have Mount Hood, you got Central Oregon, you got a little Southern Oregon, mentioned Ashland. And there's a photo of him at Crater Lake, and I told Dirt, I go, I think I've been to Crater Lake, but I was a child. I haven't been to Crater Lake in my memory.
Ah.
And Dirt goes, I went to Crater Lake once. I was extremely hungover. It sucked.
We were driving back from a golf trip in Southern Oregon, and I had a buddy who was like, why don't we go check out Crater Lake? And I was, actively vomiting out of the back window of his car. And I was like, this sounds like a horrible idea on a day in August when it was like 104 degrees and it was like 45 minutes off the highway. Get there. We stood around. I was like, can we go home now? We got 4 hours left on the road, man.
Swag, I think Dirt summed it up by saying, it's a lake. Cool.
It's a big lake.
Well,
it's pretty. It's a big, deep lake, if you're into that kind of thing. All right, look at that lake. All right. Cool. Big Bend, Parliament. Keep going.
Grand Canyon, big hole, big divide.
Big hole. What do you want, man?
Bigger divide in America right now, Grand Canyon or politics?
Yeah, I'm anti-Crater Lake. Too far. It's off the highway. I'm out on Crater Lake.
When you think about it, I do enjoy seeing, natural, captivating, beautiful things. I also have been on this show kind of crapping on some of those natural, beautiful things. I've lived here my entire life. Multnomah Falls.
Yeah, you're in it. It's a waterfall,
It's water coming off the side of a rock.
It's pretty cool, There you go.
You know what's cool? Niagara Falls.
See, now here's what I will say about Crater Lake that I don't know. Because, again, it was like a check-in and I was hungover and not moving very well. So maybe if it's maybe some people go hike around Crater Lake. I'm sure there are things to do around Crater Lake. But once you go and you stand there and you look at it, there's the idea similar to a waterfall of okay. How long do you stand and look?
Hmm. Well, isn't there a hike for Crater Lake?
I don't know.
Can't you hike down it? Again, I think I went there as a kid, but I don't remember any.
Yeah, I thought I was going to die of a heat stroke, so I wasn't into much of a hiking mood. So that's my thing about seeing those things. It's like, I know you could do that with the Grand Canyon. You could hike all the way down the Grand Canyon.
You could take a donkey down.
Take a donkey down. Yeah. You got to take the donkey back up. It's a whole thing. But when you're just standing there and looking at it, it's beautiful. But how long do you look at it for? How long do you need to embrace the beauty before you're like... Okay. It's a big lake, man.
These topics are interesting to have in this area because a lot of people are very proud of our natural beauty.
I am. Do we have a beautiful state? I'm very proud of our beautiful state.
Sound like you are. It sounds like you just like, oh, there's a lake where a crater hit once. We're gone.
It's pretty cool, man.
There's actually a lot of different climates in this state. Coastal climate.
Very different
desert climate.
High deserts.
Yeah. We can check all of our boxes.
Rainforest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rainforest.
Well... Not a rainforest, but
a forest. Yeah, forestry. Yeah. Yeah.
Rains a lot.
It sure, it does.
Counted. You know, we got leopards out there.
Do we have a rainforest?
We got a rainforest. There's a poll question.
I don't know how to answer that because I think you're kind of right. Like anytime I've been to Multnomah Falls,
you stand there, you look at it, you're like, hey, that's cool. But then, how long do you stand there? Like, how long do you need to appreciate its beauty before you're like, all right?
Yeah.
I don't even really have an interest in the hike. I've done it. It's like halfway up. I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, you know, I'm just gonna get higher up.
Most of the time, you're just trying
going up a hill.
Water's still falling down.
Whoa. That's how it works.
You know, it's beautiful, but
yes. It's beautiful.
Are we overrating it a little? I don't know. Maybe we take it for granted. It's probably what happens. Yeah. We take it for granted.
Yeah, talk to somebody from like Iowa about something like that and it'll blow their mind. What, you guys got hills? What?
Yeah. Well, they think their hills are mountains.
They do. Yes, they do.
I remember going to Oklahoma and my cousin was like, look at this mountain we got. And I was like, that's a hill.
That's a hill, man.
A mountain.
You can walk up that thing in 5 minutes, man. That's not a mountain.
I was like, no, why don't you come to Oregon and see a real mountain, bitch?
We got mountains.
We got mountains.
We got mountains. We got a mountain range. You know what this life is like? We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program.
We do.
The NBA season is starting, and I can already feel the people not caring.
The enthusiasm is there. Rip City!
Blazer tip off. I'm wearing my Rip City shirt. We're going to be on Channel 2.2.
I wore my Blazer 3-on-3 tournament shirt today.
We are back, baby!
We're back!
Woo! This is the year.
22 wins!
This is the year.
Here we go.
Yes!
Is that too many?
I think they're going to win tonight. That's my hot take.
Please don't win tonight.
Their starting lineup is going to be Ant, 2, Denny, Jeremy, and DA.
Scoot's coming off the bench, though, Sprague.
Yeah, okay. Those five players right there, not bad. They should be able to help you win.
Leveling the number 3 overall pick isn't good enough to start in a second year in the NBA. That's a good sign.
Oh, it's a positional problem. There's a log jam.
I'm glad that we have a positional problem for a number 3 overall pick in the NBA draft.
He's still going developing.
Going to a second year in the NBA.
Can we just get through 2 games? Can you just have a little excitement and happiness?
Well, I don't know how I'm going to watch him tonight, so no, I haven't quite figured that out
yet. You didn't buy an HD antenna?
No, I didn't buy an
HD
antenna.
You've got questions, they've got answers.
Is Radio Shack even a thing anymore? Do I got to go to Staples? Around?
Was that their slogan?
It was.
That was a
good pull.
By the way, a meteor did not hit Crater Lake. People are texting that. I think you said that on the air.
Did I say that?
I think you did say that.
No, it was a volcanic creation.
That's right. Yeah,
collapsed. Right.
Cratered.
Cratered.
Yeah. So. I was reading a space article. About rocks.
That would win.
And Crater Lake
wasn't
got
quite
in my
a
head.
Didn't quite get hit by a meteor.
No,
there.
I know.
That would be a cooler lake, though. If it got hit by a meteor, it would be a way cooler lake.
Well, I was reading about how 100 years ago.
That's a meteor lake. Meteor Lake's a cooler name than Crater Lake, if we're being honest.
I was actually testing the listeners.
Making sure they knew.
Making sure you're paying attention.
Yeah, I'll figure out a way. Maybe I'll stop.
Weird dream right now.
I think he is, man. How much weed did we smoke before the show?
Just
I'm confused.
Just wake me up.
Hey! Time to go. What? What time is it? Oh, okay. Show already started.
I just hope you like this tomorrow. I can't have caffeine tomorrow.
What?
What?
I'm having a screening.
It's
after
a hell of a Blazer segment, by the way. We are just jacked for opening night. Clearly, you can tell.
I dressed for the
very
occasion.
Very excited.
I have notes. Hey, I consciously picked out my Blazer T-shirt for you here. It is the opening game. No, I'm having a screening. It's a calcium thing to check your arteries to see if you have plaque. And they said you can't have any stimulants for like 24 hours before it.
Oh, that's going to be tough.
Because it screws up. So
can you please go to bed at like 9?
I am.
Yeah, go to bed
early.
I'm
going to watch the Blazer game in bed.
Okay, but if it's over and it's clearly over, please go to sleep.
No.
When they're down by 25, turn that game off.
You don't know this about yourself, or you do and you don't care, but when you don't get sleep, this is why we texted the other day when you were flying back. you just naturally have a negative energy. And I just, I don't like negative swag. He's not my favorite person.
He's tired. Poopy tired swag is not fun to be around.
Poopy tired swag is not fun. Yeah. I want happy, giddy, I got sleep swag.
Yeah, it's good swag. That's a happy swag.
Happy swag is better.
Happy swag, happy life. That's the motto we have around here. Happy swag, happy life.
That is the motto.
So go to bed in the second quarter. They're going to get blown out. They're probably going to lose.
You think they're going to lose tonight?
I do think they're going to lose tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
I think they're going to win. Home opener, jacked.
Isn't that kind of done? Haven't we lost like 3 or 4 home openers in a row now? I mean, this is year 4 of a tank. That used to be our thing. We won like 20 straight home openers.
Yeah, 20 straight.
And I won $100 off of Marcus Greaves for that because he bet on the Lakers 1 year and took him 1.5 years to pay me back.
How confident are you in saying this streak?
I mean, I'm not that. I feel like the streak is over. I know that. We had a long
streak is over.
We had a long streak of winning home openers that ended a couple of years ago, and I don't remember the last couple of home openers off the top of my head. But
we lost our last year home opener. You remember who we played last year in a home
opener? I do not remember who we played.
Oh, we got blown out by the Clippers.
No. We got blown out the Clippers at the Clippers.
Oh, that was the season opener.
Yeah. The home opener was Orlando.
Orlando beat us.
Usually there's like a tie to those games.
The Vogna Twins
the
came in.
The Vogna's came
the
in.
Throwdown.
We won 2 years ago in our home opener against Phoenix.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the streak's over. What happened the year before that? Why'd you go back the year before that, huh? Put that in your pipe, bitch. Crater man over there. Huh? How you feel about that? I think our season's going to get hit by a crater this year.
I mean, I think that's what people are hoping. Based on the Twitter response, I would say people don't care at all.
It'd be pretty good, you know.
But I don't want to base everything on Twitter.
No.
No, I just, look,
let's carry this over.
Okay,
we're going to pay. We'll get to the college football stuff.
Let's carry it over.
I had a duck
segment.
We'll
have a real Blazer segment.
Let's do a real Blazer segment.
Not about caffeine and craters and lakes. And
right.
Real Blazer segment.
What is the most overrated thing for people in our area, though? There is a side text line question I want to ask. If mine's Multnomah Falls, Dirt, I think, is throwing Crater Lake in there. What is the most overrated thing to you that we have? Because I've heard the term beach. People think our beaches are overrated because it's cold and the water's freezing.
No, it's the coast. It's the Oregon coast.
Oh, okay.
It's not beaches.
Well, technically, we have beaches.
There are beaches down there, but when you go to the coast, you're going to the coast. You're not going to the beach.
Hmm. I don't know how we're separating these terms.
I don't quite tell the difference
in
there.
In Southern California, you go to the beach.
What do I do when I go to Seaside?
And you hang out on the beach.
Well, you hang out on the beach, but you don't go to the beach for the beach. You go to
Why
the
coast. Why did I go to Seaside?
That's
then?
The whole point of going to the beach, is to go to the beach.
If I go to Cannon Beach to see the big-ass rock in the water, I'm going.
Right,
have you ever gone to a coast town and then not gone to the beach?
Ooh. No. You haven't?
No. Because even if it's bad weather, you're still going to wander out there
beach,
at least one time.
The beach implies sunny weather, getting in the ocean, swimming around. You're not doing that a lot on the Oregon coast.
Okay. I know, but the beach is where you hang out.
Yes.
You don't get in the water, but you're on the beach.
True.
When the whale's out of the water and on the sand, we've said he is
a beached whale.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how? Okay. I don't know what we're doing right now.
Who's on first?
Exactly. Yeah. We'll get to the real Blazer. Do you care at all? Please, anybody? Am I going to be alone on this show for the next, 7 months? I feel so alone. Dirt Sprague back with more on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Josh Pate's going to join the show. She was
dressed out on a long. I apologize to all the people I upset in the last segment. I will work on my actions, think about my words more carefully. Crater Lake's beautiful. It's a beautiful place. I love going there.
It's 5 hours from my house.
When he texted in, Dirt turned me into a P4 in that segment. Where is this one? Somebody said, where did this? Oh, God. We got to hold on. Scrolling. Get Crater Lake name out your mouth. You're both idiots of epic proportions. Keep talking farts and stupid bets.
Okay.
I mean, I do like talking about farts, and I make a lot of stupid bets.
Hey, Crater Lake is one of our best tourism attractions in this state. I'd also ask that same person, how many times you been in the last 10 years?
Are you going down every other week?
Going down every year? Or driving down? Like a twice your whole life thing?
Family reunion 30 years ago?
We will get to Josh Pate, get his thoughts on the Oregon Ducks. Number one ranked Oregon Ducks.
Who cares?
Chip on the shoulder.
Who cares?
Everybody's doubting you.
Nobody's giving us a chance.
We'll see what Josh Pate thinks. Also, his thoughts on co-parenting baby showers. It's become the norm in society.
Yeah, we got corporate Pate today. He's in New York. I think he's doing a bunch of stuff with CBS this week.
So
we got corporate Pate this morning.
Okay. All right. We'll get to that. We got other dealings in football to get to. Look, the Blazers, all jokes aside, the Blazers do start their season.
They do. It's a very pivotal year for them, I would argue.
Pivotal in,
I think, Scoot, a number of things. How does Scoot look in year two? If he has a terrible year again this year, what is our conclusion? There are some that don't want to write him off yet, and that's totally fair. It was 1 year. He was 19 years old, and that's a completely fair opinion.
Yeah.
If he backs up a bad rookie season with a bad second year, what's our takeaway? Are we just giving him give him 3 more years to figure this out? How long is the runway going to be? You need stars to win in this league. This is year four of a tank now. Your three prize collections that you've got in the draft are Shaden Sharp, who is going to be back when?
Mid to late November.
So he's going to miss about 2 months of the season.
I think Hyken reported that it's on track in the 4-6 window.
Okay, that'd be great. I hope he's back sooner than later because he's one of the things that I'm most excited to watch this year. But it's year three for him. You have a big financial decision to make on that front. I know they just
picked up his
option for his fourth year. But eventually, I mean, you're going to have to decide how much money do we give this guy and how much are we willing to pay him. He's shown flashes. He's been a really fun player to watch. He's in a walking highlight, and he's had now back-to-back years where he hasn't been able to stay healthy.
He's been fun. He's also had frustrating moments, too.
Without a doubt.
Do something.
Yes. Like, take the next step. We need you to take the next step. Yeah. And his next step year is starting with him on the sideline, and I hope that he plays the rest of the year healthy. But that's now something to monitor. And, you know, got Scoot in year two, who had a really rough rookie year, and in year three of your tank, you got Donovan Klingon.
Maybe the most exciting of the
without a doubt
people based on what he just did in the preseason.
Dude, I can't wait to watch him, man. I'm pumped. I think he's going to be a great NBA center. I don't know where his offensive game's going to be at, and that'll probably come with time, but I think he's going to be an impact player right away. But like, this is year four of a tank. We got to start seeing crystallization of the vision and trading vets and freeing up playing time. Like, there's a lot to decipher and figure out this year. So yeah, I am very excited for this season. Not that they're going to win a lot of games, but I'm hopeful to have a little more clarity in the matter of a handful of months of where this is all going. Do we have answers on coaching? Do we have answers on the direction and who we're keeping and who we're trading? And I hope we get those by the end of the year.
The answers on coaching, why is that a thing? We know what that answer is.
He's going to fire him. Yeah, he's not going to be here.
It's not going to be a firing. It's going to be a mutual parting of the ways. He wanted out.
Well, that's not mutual, yeah. I mean,
well, the contract's going to run out, and he wants to leave. He made that abundantly clear through Chris Mannix. I know what they say publicly. That's not what seems to be kind of the narrative around the country. So I think right now we would lean saying we don't have a coach going forward after this year. Scoot, I'm with you on Scoot. I was talking about this with a Blazer fan I know. It is only year two, and so I don't think it's necessarily fair, but there is a real, like, ooh, about Scoot for people. Is it get to the point where if it's not to a certain standard by X this year, you think they pivot out and just say, we're just going to keep Ant? He hasn't requested a trade. He said he wants to win, but, like, no evidence that that's truly a top importance of him because he knows this team's going to be bad.
Do you trade Scooter? Just he's a bench guy.
I'm just asking questions of, like, how this team is evaluating their talent. This is, to your point, this is year four. You can say year one, Chance here, GM fired over, you know, all those internal claims. Okay, Cronin comes in. Okay, Cronin starts wiping the slate clean, kind of, because he trades Hart and CJ. But then he runs Dame back, and then we pretend that we're going to go all in and win, and then we don't, and then we're trading, but now we're pissed that he's demanded to go to one place, so we're not going to send him to one place. Now we're going to make a big offseason noise because of that. Like, you start to evaluate this. It cannot be keep kicking the can down the road of how to evaluate the organization is my read. I'm excited to see a lot of the young guys. I'm excited to see Denny. I liked that pickup. I thought that was a really smart trade.
Yeah.
But, like, we do need to see it from Shaden. Scoot needs to show obvious progress in more ways than one. Even his good games for people, they're really not that good. He's not shooting the ball very well.
No.
So, like, we need to see obvious. And I just also don't know how this organization feels about the exact direction they're taking. And you could say, well, what do you mean, Sprague? They're going to tank. Okay, cool. They're going to tank. But does that mean they're going to stay committed to Scoot? Is there a world where Scoot's not good, so they pivot back and just keep Ant?
And then do you have to sit Ant because he's too good in the end of the year and you're trying to lose games? Is Jeremy Grant going to be here longer than 3 months, or is he going to get dealt at some point?
He doesn't seem to want to be traded, but we don't know. Maybe the Lakers will get desperate. That seems to be the one. And then Ayton. Like, Ayton is the most obvious. A team is going to tell themselves because of his stats, oh, this guy's figured it out. He'd be a good fourth piece for us. Okay, Blazers, here's stuff.
Yeah.
And now in comes Klingon to start because Rob Williams is not a realistic option for them.
No.
So I have a lot of, I'm going into the year, last year I didn't expect a whole lot from them. I bet the under. We all are betting the under this year, but, like, it's kind of looming with a lot of questions. There's more questions to this year.
It's a pivotal year, man.
You even though they're going to be bad.
Yeah, it's a pivotal year. You're in year four of a tank.
Yeah.
Let's start to see the vision a little bit.
Yeah, and maybe the Cooper Flag thing is it. And that's just, it's as simple as be the worst, get the one pick you hope, draft Cooper Flag. Yeah. Everything changes for you.
Yep, could be a successful year if that happens, for sure.
Yeah, the Blazers start their season against Golden State. Josh Pate will join the program, Corporate Pate, today. We have a lot more to get into. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
Oh, just pissing everybody off today. We will get to the Timbers in their playoff game at some point in the final hour of the show.
Everybody's so feisty today.
Everybody's
on
just
a Wednesday.
Feisty. Everybody calm down, man. We're having fun, all right? Is it Hate Oregon Day? No, it's not. Take a deep breath.
Hate Oregon Day?
Yeah, why are we so negative? Have you ever been to another state?
I have. I've been to several states. Oregon's gorgeous. Why I live here.
We're the best state, man. We're the best state out there. Everybody take a deep breath. We're having fun. It's a Wednesday. Huh. Calm down. We're all going to die someday, okay? We're all going to die. Everybody take a deep breath. Most interesting storyline this year for the Blazers. I put up a poll question last night, and I don't know if I've ever seen a more evenly matched response with four different options. Now, I'm sure there's other things, you know, people are responding, tanking and getting Cooper Flag and draft selection. That's the most interesting storyline. Totally grant you that.
Tanking is not an interesting storyline.
It's a result.
It's just losing a lot of games.
It's the end of the result of how you get there, and you hope that you get more ping pong balls and it works out in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
The four options that I put on there, Scoot's development, Kling Kong, this speaks volumes, Shaden year three, or to the point of veterans and what the long-term plan, what do you do with the trade deadline? What does the roster look like in, you know, February when you're going into the second half of the year? Is it all young guys playing? Grant's still here. Ant's still here. DeAndre Ayton's still here. How does the roster look as the year goes on? This is like, we have basically everyone has north of 20% vote. Scoot's development is slightly edging out Kling Kong, 26.6% to 26.3%.
I think Kling Kong is my last answer.
That's your fourth most interesting storyline.
Well, yeah, because I already think he's good. I don't know what I'm waiting for. I know it's preseason, but his last game was remarkable. He showed a lot of those flashes in summer league. I kind of don't worry about him. I think he's pretty aware, hyper aware. He comes from a good college program and coaching.
That he does.
Some would say better coaching. And I think if you were to rank those, like, yeah, are they going to finally deal Jeremy? The guy has never played past, like, mid-March as a Blazer.
No, they sit him down every year because they have tanked for three straight years, despite what people are trying to argue.
He also loves being here, so he doesn't care about winning. Ant says he cares about winning, has never demanded a trade. Does he care to be traded this year? Are they going to actually do it? And is there interest from him? They couldn't move Darius Garland and Anthony Simons this offseason. Teams weren't jumping to go get guards. It was a very weird offseason that way. And yeah, I am interested in Shaedon Sharpe coming back, and if he can stay healthy, that's certainly up there. That's probably my second. Number one is Scoot.
Scoot's number one for
you. If Scoot looks bad again, I just think if you don't get the Cooper Flagg pick, are you going to be willing to draft...
Isn't Ace Bailey the other big guy? He's a guard, though, right?
There's other players in this draft that are kind of looked at. Like, would you be willing to do that?
I mean, if he's bad this year, then yes. The answer is yes, you have to. If you have a second or third overall pick and you can't get Cooper Flagg.
Well, but I don't know. What I would say is I don't know if the organization is. Or they would, because they love to tell us they'll play two point guards.
That's true. Yeah.
After they drafted Scoot, they said Scoot and Dame can coexist. And I was like, what?
Last year they started the season with Ant and Scoot in the starting lineup.
Yeah, so maybe they would and just not
care.
Well,
I think it all revolves around the biggest thing is by the end of the season, we have to know as fans to buy in, to put up with all the crap that's gone on the last 4 years. Who is everybody confident that the team will be built around?
Yeah, who's the face
of
the franchise?
And if there's not an answer to that at the end of the season.
I think there is right now. My guess, I think it's the guy in the middle, down low.
Kling Kong?
I do. Until they draft whoever they're going to draft, Shaedon has shown what, just from a personality, leader, face of franchise stuff, what has he shown you?
Not much.
I don't know if I could pinpoint his voice if you played it for me. Scoot has to play better. If he does, he's certainly somebody that could be filling in that blank. Denny? Nobody knew who he was last year when he played for Washington. He had a good year.
He had a really good year.
So I think if you were to look at the franchise, maybe it's Ant right now, but I think by the end of the year, we're going to be saying it's Donovan.
Interesting.
He's spoken up. He's talked about leadership. He's talked about coaching. He doesn't seem to be shy to share how he feels about stuff. He plays with an intensity. Like, I think it's Donovan.
Interesting. You can go vote on that. We got some of the Blazer poll questions up as well at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. We'll get to that. Coming up in the final hour, we'll kind of revisit that. Let's go to the commissioner of college football, though, one of our favorites every week, Josh Pate, live from New York. He is next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 7:42. Hope your Wednesday mornings are going great. Let's talk some college football, shall we? With our favorite, Josh Pate of the Josh Pate College Football Show, the commissioner of the sport at Josh Pate CFB on Twitter. You can catch his show live on YouTube every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 o'clock our time. Get the podcast wherever you find your podcasts. Congratulations on 300,000 subscribers. That is awesome, Pate. I don't know what to call you today. Do I call you Group of Five, Pate? Do I call you soon-to-be Pac-12 Pate because you're going to a Boise game? Do I call you Corporate Pate? You're in New York. What do I call you today?
Yeah, well, the latter portion I would just assume you not share. I don't want people to know I come up here. So let's go with G5 Josh. I think that rolls off the tongue nicely. Yeah.
G5 Josh. Okay, I like that. I want to start somewhere where you ended your show last night and fired a lot of people up, and that is on the nature of officiating in college football right now. Like, we went through this, you know, in Autzen a couple weeks ago, maybe interception on the opening drive, doesn't even get looked at, doesn't get reviewed. I think upon further evidence, it looked like it probably was a pick, but Ohio State goes on to score a touchdown on that opening drive, the 12-man penalty. This has been a debated thing. Last week, one of the more egregious decisions that I've ever seen was the overturn of the pass interference after throwing bottles on the field. I'm curious to highlight to our listeners what you have talked about, what you have heard from officials, and how you think we can go about making this a better system for fans everywhere.
Yeah, so it's very important you just phrased it like that, a better system for fans everywhere. I think people get so insulated and so inside their bubble, they really forget what we're doing here. What we're doing is providing entertainment. It's not the football business. It's the entertainment business. Football is entertaining, so football is included in it. That's why a whole lot more people watch football games than lacrosse, because people care more about football than lacrosse. They're more entertained by it. So your entire existence, whether it be as a coach, as a player, or as an official at that scale, is only made possible because a lot of fans have interest in what you do. So my simple theory here is those people who provide the very platform for you to professionally exist on in the first place deserve some kind of transparency about the process, about the mechanism. And as far as I can tell, if Dan Lanning screws up, like if he goes for it on fourth down a bunch against Washington and it doesn't work, he's right there talking to the media 25 minutes later. If Dylan Gabriel were to throw three interceptions against Illinois and they get upset and they lose, he's got to talk to the media. Officials, they do what they do. And I'm not suggesting they need to be perfect. I know none of us would be perfect calling a game. That's not my gripe. My gripe is they don't have to answer for it, and the league really never answers for it. They just give these explanations that have been good enough for way too long because no one's ever really forced the issue on it. And they may or may not tell you 2 days later, we messed up a call. And they may or may not tell you, yeah, it went against you and, yeah, it probably cost you a game. Now, we're not going to overturn the game, so it doesn't really matter what we're talking about here. But that stuff's not good enough. And so, you know, my argument has just been, how about a little transparency in the process? So I said that on the Sunday show, and an official came at me, not really aggressively, but he said, well, we do get analyzed. We do get graded. You know, we get criticized behind the scenes from our league offices. You just never see it. And I said, that's the problem. I never said you don't get analyzed. I said, we have no clue what's happening. And you're not a federal government employee. You're not working for NASA. You're not guarding nuclear codes. There does not need to be the kind of secrecy around the mechanisms of college football officiating and enforcement that there is. And if you built the sport today, it would never be built this way. The only reason it exists this way is because, number one, they've got that cop-out of saying they're not full-time employees, they're just part-time. Well, make them full-time then and nationalize the thing in the process so there's one standard. And number two, it wouldn't kill anyone to peel the curtain back a little bit and give explanation. Because as of now, you're never going to know what those officials were thinking when they overturned that call in the Texas game. You'll never know what the mechanisms of the process were in that Oregon-Ohio State game for why they didn't stop play and review that interception that wasn't. You just kind of got to eat it, and it should never be that way.
So I have a question about something that Dirt said on Monday's show that I want to ask you, but on this topic, because you made me think a little bit here. I have thought about the eye in the sky, the all-encompassing ref that's somewhere in a dark room deciding things in random moment. We have no explanation of when or why they decide to say this is confirmed or this has been overturned, right? There's no confirmation of that. And your clip went pretty viral on talking about this. What's the feedback you've gotten since you said this on the show?
I don't know that I've ever had more coaches reach out for a singular clip from the show than that. I'm talking about, I mean, I don't know how many dozen of them, coordinators, ton of head coaches. But I had some officials reach out as well, and it's not the first time. I've had some officials reach out, and you'd think they'd be mad, but they're not. They'll reach out, and they'll say, here's the problem from our end. We do not have, for lack of a better term, centralized enforcement. And what they mean by that is there's a way that they do things in the SEC, and it's different than the ACC, and it's different than Big 12. And then they lay out what it takes to be an official at that level and the clinics and the camps you have to go to. And they said, you wouldn't believe what kind of a joke some of these things are in that people are running the clinics who really aren't qualified to run them. And then they'll emphasize something at one that they de-emphasize at the other. And it takes doing that to play the game and elevate in that field. But then you elevate and you get to the biggest stage and you're really kind of operating on a foundation of jello. Because you really don't know what is and isn't supposed to be emphasized based on the conference patch on your sleeve. And so the whole thing is a joke, and there's no excuse for it to be that way. And all the coaches reached out and said, thank you. We're not sitting here saying they need to be perfect. We'd just love some accountability because it's the only facet of our sport that's really important that there's no accountability and public transparency for.
Yeah. Monday, Dirt said on the show he only thinks four teams can win the national championship: Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, and Texas. Those teams have played each other. We have results from them. It's been a wild, fun, unpredictable season. Do you agree with that? Are there only four teams in Josh Pate's mind that can win the national championship?
Now, that sounds like major P4 propaganda to me. And as G5 Josh, I can't stand for that. Hell what are you talking about?
Fight for the Cougs.
This might as well be profanity just sprayed all over the airwaves this morning. I think that I understand the logic, all right? But here's what I would say. Now, I'm not personally making this argument, but if I really wanted to be a thorn in the side this morning, I'd say, why Texas? Texas has had one test, and they got pushed around on their own field, so why not just three teams? What has Texas shown you? But I'm not, as I just said, this makes for the best content. I'm making an argument I myself am not making. That's always my back door that I build into anything I say. But I still think the field's a little bit larger than that, only because I think there may be one, two, three, however many teams that still have a little bit of scalability about themselves. I think about Tennessee. What would happen if their passing game clicked into place in November like it did the second half against Alabama? Because they can run the ball, they play really good defense. I think about LSU. What happens if their ground game clicks into place like it did against Arkansas in November? Because they are a really good pressure team. They've got a quarterback that a lot of the NFL scouts love, and Garrett Nussmeier, and he's got a big test against A&M this weekend. I'm thinking about teams like that, and I'm thinking also, if I've seen vulnerability in all these big-time teams, and I have, then that means I cannot sit here before Halloween and draw a line on a piece of paper and say, all right, everyone below this line, you're out, and the champion will exclusively come from anywhere above this line. Or if I do that, I'm not brave enough to do that. I've got to go way down the list, and I got to have like 10 teams in it, and then I'll shave a few off as the weeks go by. But I think the field's still a little bit bigger than that.
Yeah, it's very anti-2007 of me. I will acknowledge that. I'm not happy with the take that I had on Monday, but we'll see how the season unfolds. Josh Pate is our guest, the commissioner of college football. You can catch his show every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, live on YouTube, 5 o'clock our time, podcast wherever you find your podcasts, at Josh Pate CFB on Twitter. Illinois is coming to town this weekend, a game that I will acknowledge to you at the start of the year. I looked at, hey, you know, Illinois, whatever.
We weren't excited for Bielema, it, let's be honest. We weren't.
Played Bielema on a Rose Bowl many moons ago, so I guess that's kind of interesting. Now they're a one-loss team. They're coming off a win over Michigan. An interesting matchup. All of a sudden, another ranked game that's happening, and Oregon gets the CBS music, which is just going to blow my mind hearing that and watching the game back this weekend to hear that SEC theme song playing for an Oregon-Illinois game. Your thoughts on that matchup and the pucker factor for the Ducks this weekend with the top 20 team coming to town?
I think the opposite of the way most people look at these kind of games. So you said it right. You said in the preseason this was a game you just kind of put a pencil W next to, and now all of a sudden the team comes in their rank. I think that's a blessing because the team is what the team is. Like, they've got the players they've got. They've got the staff they've got. If they can win some games early and be ranked when they come into your building and you get the national 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific window, to me that's a blessing because you don't have to worry about the moment having your guy's attention. Now, I thought Oregon, what they did at Purdue last Friday night was really impressive. No one cares about it because Purdue's terrible. But to go on the road and have that level of focus, 6 days rest off an Ohio State win, two time zones away, I don't take that for granted. So I don't think that having Oregon's attention is necessarily a problem that was going to be present with the Illinois game. The one thing I'll watch is – Illinois can get really physical with you. Like, they don't back away from that. That is their MO. That's the team they are. And then the other thing is they found a couple of different ways to win games. They had to hang half a 100 to beat Purdue, and then they held Michigan to 7 last week, won a different style game. So they've won the slingshot, they've won the rock fight. They're comfortable, I think, playing any style. But if Oregon gets an early lead on them, Oregon should slam the door in their face. It's that simple and that difficult. I'll have my eye on it. You know, as a CBS employee, I am contractually mandated to watch the game. But even if I didn't, I'd have my eye on it.
I was going to ask you, after the game ended on Saturday between Bama and Tennessee, like, thoughts on Bama, but I kind of got it this week on Feinbaum.
Are you smoking crack?
So I won't actually ask you that because you're very familiar with those people. You've made me pivot. You're going to a G5 game. This is a very interesting one. We just watched UNLV down in Corvallis. We've watched Boise in Eugene and throughout this year. Ashton Jainty having an amazing season. Feels like he might be the Heisman Trophy winner. At the minimum, he's a finalist. Kind of just your thoughts. Like, if Boise can win this, are we looking at a scenario, Josh, where a G5 team gets a top 4 seed in your mind, or is that eliminated? Is that gone since both these teams have lost?
I think it's eliminated because they've lost, but like we just said a little while ago, you have to wait and see how the rest of the field plays out. None of these statements can be made in a vacuum at any point, much less in October. So, I mean, let's just let the dice land how they land. But, the way I look at this game, and we're talking Boise UNLV here, I look at it as sort of forget about the postseason implications for a second and just appreciate it's a really big-time college football game here. It's not a big G5 game. It's just a big game. And then you've got the subtext, of course, of Ashton Jeanty, and everyone should be tuned in to watch him. I'm going in person because I haven't been able to watch him in person yet. But also, Taj Malik Williams coming in at quarterback after their quarterback quit, whatever you think about that, that's what happened, is one of the hidden stories of college football this year. Think about how many Power 4 teams couldn't withstand that. Yeah. And you got UNLV down there. If anything, guys, they've gotten better since their starting quarterback walked out the door. And Taj Malik Williams is the guy who came in, and he had some experience, so it wasn't like he was just a total foreign concept or anything. But, what Barry Odom's doing down there, and for them to draw Boise and both of them be on the national radar, I'm glad that's on a Friday night so I can get out there. I cannot wait to see that. And I also, granted, I've never taken in a UNLV game. I've been in that building for the Pac-12 title game. I mean, wouldn't I be correct in assuming we'll have a pretty lively environment there Friday night?
I would think so. Boise fans probably pretty jacked going down.
It's a fun trip for fan bases to go. There's no doubt about that. We'll let you go on this one, G5 Josh. Are we just doing like corporate meetings in New York? Are we going to see suit and tie, Josh, on television? What are we doing in New York City?
It's terrible. I'll look like I'm applying for a loan. I got to put on the suit. I got to go. I don't have to. I get to go on Inside College Football tonight on CBS Sports Network. But I just want you guys, when you see me, don't remember me this way.
Well, always remember Black Tea and White Tea, Josh. Always. He's the commissioner of the sport. Check the show every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 o'clock our time, live on YouTube, podcast, wherever you find your podcast. Josh Pate's College Football Show at Josh Pate CFB. Congrats again on 300,000 subs. Always enjoy the time, and we'll chat again next week.
I appreciate it, guys.
There you go. Josh Pate, live from New York City. G5 Josh, really cool. He's going to the UNLV Boise game on Friday, and then he's turning around and going to his backyard because he lives in Nashville. And Texas is in town playing Vanderbilt this weekend.
Yeah, the only game I didn't get to ask about there, because the officiating thing is interesting to me, and how they're deciding when to change calls and how to change calls and when to not do it. It's a whole fascinating aspect, I think, of the sport.
I'm with him 100%. We just need transparency, man. Just explain it. What were you thinking? Why was that conversation had? Don't release a statement as a conference 48 hours later saying we should have, this is what we thought.
That's the thing is, you're right. But like even in the NBA, when you do get to interview a ref, you get one question from one media member.
That's what I'm saying. It should be more than that. You should have to go sit at a podium after the game and say, answer questions. Why didn't you review that? Why did you overturn the call? Like, why are they not held to that standard?
Yeah.
You're human. You're going to make mistakes. Like, we all get it. I'm not expecting you to be perfect.
I had this feeling watching the Lynx and Liberty. I said, please explain that call to give Stewart two free throws.
It was a horrible call.
It was horrific. I wanted to ask about Indiana-Washington.
Yeah.
But if Indiana wins, even with a backup.
They got Ohio State the week after that.
It's a big game for the Huskies. But if Indiana does win, I think there's something we need to bring up next week with him.
Okay.
Especially how much you hate him.
Yeah, well, I'm anti-Indiana on this show. He did go through on his show last night the chaos factor in all these conferences. It's looming again because we no longer have divisions. And there's a bunch of teams who don't play each other who are all in the mix to win. We're going to have tiebreakers deciding who plays in conference champion. The chaos will ensue.
There is a world and a scenario where we have an undefeated What was the scenario? There's like undefeated teams who don't make conference title games because of tiebreakers.
Well, if you look at the Big Ten right now, it's probably not going to happen. Oregon, Penn State, and Indiana are the three undefeated teams in the Big Ten. They don't play each other. So if they all went out, they would all be undefeated.
What is that tiebreaker?
I think it's there's a whole list of them.
It's just wild that's a scenario.
Common opponent, point differential. Probably something like that. But good luck, selling that to a fan base who gets left out of the Big Ten title game because they were also undefeated.
Is Notre Dame eliminated if they lose to Navy this weekend? Two-loss Notre Dame? Because we said that would get in before the year, but now it's like...
The A&M win looks better and better every single week. A&M plays LSU this week if A&M wins.
Yeah, but a loss to Navy in Northern Illinois is...
That's undefeated ranked Navy to you.
And I think Northern Illinois is having a nice little
season. Northern Illinois is not bad, man. They're not bad.
They're still atop the MAC.
That's a fun little game this weekend.
They're 4-3, actually. Yeah. All right. They're 1-2 in their conference
play. Too soon there. I want to continue on this and debut a new segment to start the final hour off of our interview with the commissioner of the sport. And we'll talk a little college football. We'll get back into the Blazers who begin their season tonight. It's a loaded final hour on a Wednesday. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.